I think acalabrutinib is a very interesting drug. And, you know, I think over time, based on the toxicity profile, you know, it does not have the bleeding and the atrial fibrillation, at least early. It hasn't been seen to the same degree. So that would be even more appealing, I think.
And it seems like, you know, I guess in this initial work that the acalabrutinib efficacy seems similar to ibrutinib.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, it's a very potent, very selective, or more selective than ibrutinib.
Any other BTK inhibitors out there that look promising?
I don't know any. I know of some that are in clinical trials, but I think the approval strategies are going to be very difficult. And I think even for acalabrutinib, which I would love to see approved because it's just, it's a good drug for elderly patients. I think ibrutinib, if we talk about, I have another patient and several others who've had to come off for toxicity. So I think acalabrutinib is a safer, better tolerated drug.
When you talk about toxicities with ibrutinib from a clinical point of view, and you mentioned older patients, what are some of the more frequent issues that you run into?
Bleeding. You know, I've had a couple of people have falls and have giant hematoma. I've had a patient who had a subdural hematoma. We've seen another patient in the clinic who had a bad bilateral subdurals with really minimal trauma. And the atrial fibrillation, I think, is a big issue. And then these patients, often being older, meet criteria for needing anticoagulation. So then you've got the double whammy. You've got someone who needs to be on one of the novel agents, the anticoagulants, plus ibrutinib, and then their risk of bleeding is even higher. So I don't think any of us know exactly what the best way to manage need for anticoagulation in patients on ibrutinib.